Now we move to sporting matters. A new dawn was the phrase used by the Sports Minister Shane Ross this morning after the FAI has finally appointed some independent directors. Stockbroker Roy Barrett will take over as independent chair, along with lawyer and businesswoman Catherine Guy and human resources executive Liz Joyce as two independent directors, with a further name to follow. They will be a beacon of hope, in the words of Minister Ross, but he also said government funding would not be immediately restored. On the line now is Mark Tyne, news reporter with the Sunday Times. You've been covering this crisis-hit FAI over the past year. We'll speak as well to Dennis Hines, SIPTU Sports Sector Organiser, a voluntary under-12 soccer coach into the bargain. First of all, Mark, how significant are these appointments of independent directors?
Yeah, hi, Sean. It's definitely a huge landmark in the history of Irish football, going back almost 100 years. Since 2002, there's been an outstanding recommendation from the Genesis Report in the wake of Saipan that there'd be two independent directors on the FAI board. And up till now, every board member of the FAI has come from a football constituency representing, junior football, schoolboy football, League of Ireland or others. And they've all kind of, while they've been directors, they've also kind of been fighting for a piece of the pie, the football income and, wanting to change things to help their constituency. So now we have three independent directors, soon to be four, who are there solely to better the association and to get things on the right track. So it's a huge landmark moment in the history of football, and hopefully, I suppose, there'll still be an association in 2 or 3 weeks if they can hit the ground running and sort out this bailout package that needs to be put in place very soon.
I have yet to hear any government minister, and I've been listening to them for a long time now, saying, yes, there is a blank cheque. So the minister repeating as well again this morning, no blank cheque. But he does say this is an opening to the restoration of funds if the FAI implement reforms identified by the COSY report, such as corporate governance and transparency. So does that mean now that the threat of insolvency remains for the moment, or is it in the process of being lifted?
I think the threat remains until the deal is done. But there was a significant statement from Shane Ross just before the new year, the Sunday, the day of the FAI AGM. He said, the government wouldn't countenance the FAI going into liquidation. That doomsday scenario, obviously, everyone loses their jobs. We can't field an international team. Question marks about whether we can host the Euro 2020 matches later this year in Dublin. We're supposed to host four games. That's something the government are, kind of a backstop that Shane Ross has put out there, that they won't allow that to happen. So just what form of a kind of rescue package is put in place is still on the table. And you can understand from the government's point of view, they don't want to write a blank cheque, and they think that UEFA should play some role and the bank should play some role in helping to get the FAI's finances back on a place where they can actually pay their staff and pay their creditors.
And Dennis Hines of SIPTU, are you any more optimistic now about the future of the FAI and indeed your members who worked there after these appointments?
Good morning, Sean and Mark and your listeners. Well, I suppose we've always been somewhat optimistic that there'd be a resolution found here somewhere along the way. What the resolution may be is what we were probably more concerned about. Because I can't see a scenario where a doomsday situation would take place here with the association. But certainly my concern and the concern of the staff would be what exactly that situation or what might be presented to us in the form of maybe loss of jobs.
I think you were saying yourself, Dennis, after the FAI annual general meeting on the 29th of December, that it's almost certain now there will be job losses. Do you still hold to that view?
Well, I mean, our situation at the minute is one where we're going to be talking to the FAI today. We're going to be seeing what kind of plan they're trying to put forward, because in their discussions with the Minister, Shane Ross, they looked for 6 million per annum for the next 3 years, totaling 18 million. And with a present wage bill of around 13 million, there is a shortfall there. So we need to see how and what is going to bridge that gap and what role UEFA are playing in this and what expectation or what demands UEFA might need if they're going to be some way going guarantor or some way assisting the association going forward. Because our difficulty is when you have third parties involved in the run of the show, we can't have that impacting significantly on staff and on football for all around the country.
And Mark, when we talk about reforms at the FAI, what does that mean? I mean, what's your understanding of the situation with regard to possible job cuts or salary reductions?
Yeah, well, as Dennis has outlined, you know, the income of the FAI currently isn't enough to meet their outgoings. So usually that requires cutting their costs and staff. The payroll is one of the big outgoings for the FAI every month. In terms of reforms, this move yesterday appointing these people, the independent directors, that helps things immensely because under the reforms that were proposed last year, they had to set up all these committees, and that couldn't take place without independent directors being on some of those committees or other people being appointed. So that this helps get the whole process of bringing new people in, like people like Larry Bass from Shinawil. He was on one of the boards, so they haven't effectively been able to meet until these independent directors come in to fill out the rest of that subcommittee, you know, to help get into the overall reform of the association.
Dennis, what about, I think you're due to meet the FAI this morning. Your key questions, I presume, will include, will your members be paid this month?
Well, that would be the first question we'd have. I mean, what guarantees have we that salaries will be in the bank for the staff in January? And that's a major concern at the minute. In addition to that, then, it's about what's happening going forward. And the staff want to be part of, as major stakeholders, they want to be part of the negotiation and finding the resolution to this, because at the end of the day, the people that I represent are not at fault for any of the mistakes here that have happened and that have driven the association into the financial crash that they find themselves in and the doomsday scenario that we all faced. So from our point of view, it's about going in and trying to ensure that salaries will be met and that the association will be protected going forward, and that we have football for all right around the communities, and that it's not just going to be about elite soccer players, international teams, which is very important to us all. All our kids aspire to it, but not all the kids out there aspire to be the next Robbie Keane or Johnny Maguire. A lot of kids out there that just love to play football, who have special needs and so on. And we want to make sure that that continues into the foreseeable future.
Well, let's hope it is, in the Minister's words, a new dawn. My thanks to you both, Dennis Hines, SIPTU Sports Sector Organiser, and Mark Tai, Sunday Times News Reporter. Thank you both. It's just 2 minutes past 11. We go to the newsroom now and to Brian Jennings.